Blog Talk Radio.
Sleeping with the lights on, buried in regrets, breaking into sweats, naked as a falling leaf. Well, it's a natural reaction, driven to distraction, clawing at the ghosts you'll never meet. Oh, and I don't know where they go when they vanish in the corners of my eyes. And I don't know why, I don't know if they stay below the rise up to the sky. But I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a history that never really grows. I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a silent never really blows. I'm letting go. I'm a slave without a master, heading for disaster, kicking up the dust in the middle of the road. I've been waiting on a free ride, ticket to a seaside thicket on the edge of Puget Sound. There I'll sit, I'll admit that I was only just a guest inside my skin. And by the dawn, I'll be gone and won't be holding on to anything again. I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a history that never really grows. I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a silent wind that never really blows. Oh, we'll be right back. our last opponents are upon us now. But I can only see your face. And we are blinded by it all. And we
were by Josh Woodward's I'm Letting Go and Faded. Hello, everyone. This is Crystal with the Team of Voices. Oh, I changed up my regular. But today we are going to be playing Guess That Poet. So I've got a bunch of secret poems from people that said that they wanted to play. And we're going to read a tiny segment of the poem, and everyone that's playing either on the board or in the chat, or not chat, but on the phone, can try and guess and see if they know who wrote it or not. And then we'll read and get comments as so on. But it's pretty fun. I haven't had games in a while. Let me go ahead and I better grab Sky or she might throw a duck at me. I'm not sure.
You'll love it. How are you doing?
I'm good. Actually, speaking of ducks, which has been hilarious, is my neighbors across the street from us. I have watched them for years just get different types of birds, different types of animals. And this time they have more cows, which I've been expecting, but now they've got ducks, and the ducks like to chase the cows, and the cows chase the ducks. And the whole time, I am just thinking ducks. All I'm thinking of Sky. Like, I'm just thinking you the whole time. It's like ducks. But it's very interesting because the ducks like to come across the street to our house and get into the mud when it rains, and they're just annoying.
I just love how they're just mental breakdown will live in infamy forever.
That's what happens. That is literally, I have had it where one thing that has happened in my life or a joke or something will just live on forever. Recently, I'm not the worst cook, but I'm not the best either. I'm fair. But I tried to make a type of salmon the other day, and boy, did I burn it. And so I told my mom, I said, this is going to live forever, because she was trying out some recipe the other day, and I was like, I had said to her, I was like, well, as long as it's not burnt salmon, we're good. She was like, you really got to, like, stop doing that on yourself. I said, no, I butchered that salmon, and it's going to live on forever. So some kind of experience just lives with you no matter what.
That is true. Right, especially when you have people following you around with the sushi at the gas station.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, I forgot that they know that happens too. Oh, I got Deb on here now. Say hi to Deb.
Hey. Oh no, you gotta worry.
Hello,
when
Deb.
I start that with I'm not the worst cook. How are
I
you?
I know,
lady?
I started the show with I'm not the worst cook. You're good. Or I can't speak for Sky, but I'm good.
I'm good. I'm doing good. A little running around, but good.
I just got quiet.
Yeah. I had a look at the phone. I got quiet for a second there.
That's what I thought. I thought it disconnected, and I looked down at my phone and didn't disconnect. Just got quiet for a few seconds. No, I'm excited to bring the games back. I thought about doing the page number games, but I figured the Guess That Poet would be fun to do as well. I know I've had a lot of people like to play it. Because it's even fun, even if you don't get to call and on the show, I have people send me messages that want their poem read, at least, like, so everybody gets to join. And I'm excited for that. I do actually have quite a few poems because people were like, oh, I want to play, but I can't call. And I was like, well, you can still send, or like, still, like, I can still pick one of your poems. So
they could still listen, too, on the board and guess on the board.
Yeah.
I was kind of nervous because last time you did, last time, I'm sorry, I got to take some more allergy medicine, but last time we played was Mother's Day. And remember, you brought in this like 14, like this 13th ghost like fandom poem that was super dark, and you were like, oh my god, and everybody's like, I'm sorry, I got there. I'll take some more Zyrtec, and I'll be fine in like 20 minutes. But do you remember that? Do you remember you picking like the darkest poem on my, and you're like, it says mother. And I'm like, it's about the 13th ghost. So I was a little nervous.
I think I do remember that. I know that the poems that I picked this time, because if anybody that is listening, I'm doing a spring edition. So each poem that I grabbed is going to have something to do. It doesn't necessarily have to have the word spring in it, but if it's spring related, which I had, as I figured, because the people that wanted to play, as soon as I looked at their name, I said, they're not going to have no spring poems. So it took me a little while to get, because, like, Deb, I figured was going to be easy. And then I figured Phil, who wanted to play, I knew that was going to be easy. But there's people like Dante. Dante, I have one of his. And I'm like, Dante has never written a spring poem, and I already can tell you that. So, like, it is kind of, it's hard. So when you do these, you're going to find different types of poems that is going to be somewhat related, but like with yours, it was extremely dark. I do remember that, though. That's funny. I think I did it around Christmas, too. And I remember the Christmas one, everybody was like thinking, like they were getting everybody's poems wrong. And there were, like, everybody was all confused because, and then some people didn't even know it was their poem. I love when that happens. That's my favorite part of this game, is when someone doesn't even know what poem it is and it's theirs.
I think that happened to me. It's still fun, though. Even if you get it wrong, it's still fun to guess. I
happened
like
to me,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, and she's like, no, that's not me. And then everybody's like, oh, you were trying to trick us. And I'm like, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, but I don't know if that'll happen this time. I know that, I think there was one time where, I think it was, I forgot who it was that knew it was their poem, and they literally tried to fool everyone. I forgot who did. It might have been Wayne. That might have did that once, tried to fool everybody that it wasn't, or might have been Frank. I'm not sure which one, but I do remember it was somebody that did that. They were trying to trick everyone that it was not their poem, even though they knew. it not. I'm excited for it though. I don't think we got anybody on the board right now, but I do got you two. So, yeah, I was gonna see if anybody wanted to play out on the board, but I don't think there is anybody right now. I think the board's actually been quiet today.
Yeah, a little bit of nice weather, and it gets quiet for a bit. And it was like 80 here today.
Yeah,
I wish
all
it was
those,
pretty
all
here today.
Going out for a walk. That's what's going to happen.
But it was
to me.
Really something just a couple of days ago. And S. Sharp is on the board, said, I am here. So there's another player
on the board.
I
just read that. I have one of their poems they're playing, too. No, that is definitely not if I went for a walk. Even though I did go for a bike ride earlier. That's because it finally did stop storming. But this entire month has been storms and storms and storms. And we've even had chances for tornadoes. It's been a lot. So it's mainly just wet and raining. And we're about to get more. It's supposed to rain on Easter, and I hate it. But
we got a lot of rain, too. It seemed like it was raining every day for a while. It was getting on my nerves.
I know, I can't.
And wind. I mean, we didn't have any tornadoes, touch wood, but wind was kicking quite a few times. The night the fire was a couple doors down, but the wind was viciously moving. But I guess that turned out to be a good thing, because if it wasn't, there could have been more damage to the houses on either side of them, you know. But man, it's been wicked.
Yeah, we've had a lot of winds here too. I felt bad for my dog because his he has like this little building, or not exactly building, but it's like a little pen area. It's a really big one, and he runs around in it. But the roof on top of it has just been falling apart because it's just the wind's been beating on it for weeks. And I've seen so many limbs fall on the ground, and like people's patio furniture has sometimes moved because of the wind. It's like that heavy. So I totally get that. Well, I've got S Sharp on the board. I got you two. I guess we can go ahead and play. Just go ahead and, I guess, do the rules real quick just in case anyone forgot or for S Sharp on the board to know how to play. But what it is that I have a bunch of spring poems from different people. I will tell you what names that I have so that you're not, like, you don't have to, like, guess some randomly person off the top of your head. But I'm going to grab a stanza or just a few lines from the poem I picked. I'll put that on the board, and I will ask people on the phone who they think wrote it after I tell them the list, and anyone on the board who's playing can put the name down too. And then after everyone is asked, I will reveal who it is, and we'll read the poem and then get comments for it and so on. But that's pretty much how you play. What am I going to do first? How am I going to trick people? Okay. How am I going to trick first? Let's see. I probably should have already had, like, a line taken out already. Let's see which one I can do. Okay, I got one. All right, and first stanza is going on the board. And the stanza is floor through bed and board, soils, land, holdings, candle boxes, she walked without stems. And the people that I have playing Guess That Poet is Dante, Deb, Phil the Poet, Titus, Kay, Lockdown, Frank, Steven, Sky, and S Sharp. So I will start with Sky, because I love to annoy her first.
I know. You said that last time. I was always first. I didn't get a mic. What the heck? Okay. Floor fruit bed. The board, soils, land holdings. Candle boxes. She walked through stems. And it had that tilde. It had that tilde in the poem.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Let me go to the board again. I don't think
you know, I could have sat here all night and not thought of what that little thing was called to show up.
Oh, I know. I know. Sometimes I get real spiffy. I could tell you all about sentence structure, too, now. I'm going to tell you, being in school every day, I've never seen Deb use a tilde, so I'm going to go... I'm going to go lock down Lars.
Okay. And Deb, who do you think it is?
You know, I don't have a clue, but to be different, I guess I'll say because of the word land holdings. Well... Frank.
This is Frank. Okay. I don't know if S. Sharp is going to write anything or not, but I'm going to go ahead and drop the poem. So let's see. Sky said lockdown, and then Deb, did you also say lockdown? Or no, you said Frank.
I said Frank.
Okay. And S. Sharp says you, Deb. So let's see. Everyone is wrong.
I didn't see her on the board.
Yeah,
I would have guessed
she sent me a message. That's why I said
fair.
I have Kay and Steven. That's what I was saying.
I don't remember you
that's
saying
Kay
when
name.
You gave us choices either.
Oh, no. Yeah. Because I would have guessed her right away because
okay.
She always uses tildes. Always. That's
okay.
On the board for us so that
yeah,
we can...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll put the list on the board. I can do that.
I
always forget to do when I play this game. But, yeah,
and
I
could hear it in Deb's voice, land holdings. I could hear Deb saying, that sounds like Kay. I could hear her in her head with the land holdings.
Yeah, but like I said, it was like, well, okay. Because she uses all kinds of different little characters within her poetry, and especially in her titles.
Yeah.
But I don't remember her being on the list. So it was just like, and then I went real quick to look at the board. Anyway, it's all good.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to put who we got, though. But, Sky, would you mind reading for Kay while I go
ahead
and get the list up?
Oh, I can't. I have to do everything cold read today, I guess. Kay's a little... Okay, all right. Happy hunting ground cornerstones mainsprings by Kay. Hole in the wall shanty, a crash landing dwelling of being, the port in a storm, homestead hide out stomping grounds, neck of the woods barking minuscule, home sweet home haven of moonshot shades in sepia, charcoaling the clips of shoes, cherry red bleeding the glitter of wine-colored taps, thrown to the other side of the room. Who needs those heels to get home? It's just a tap, you say. Floor through bed and board soils, land holdings, candle boxes. She walked without stems, found herself barefoot and pregnant. Chit-shack home where heels need not apply. As she left the flying monkeys behind, evil witches over the shoulder far behind. Full-blooded and high-colored is the lady always in sabling red barefoot. End poem.
That's a great read, Sky. And you said you were going to butcher it, and you didn't.
Well, sometimes she uses words I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Why do you think I normally am like, I'm not reading Kay? I know. Yeah. I normally am like, when I read certain people, especially Kay, it's like, I can't.
Yeah.
We're just talking at the same time. But no, I was going to say with Kay, I normally like, I try to read it before to make sure I'm not butchering anything, but still. But no, I did pick this one. I think it was one of the spring ones I could find, but, or had like a little bit of spring in the title. But I did really like the way that she did this. And the lines that I picked, I really liked the candle boxes. I liked how she came up with that. It just seems like there's this type of emotions and thoughts that you're feeling from her as she's writing this and stuff, more than just she's the girl in the picture, but there's more behind it than that. And I really like that she wrote that. It's a beautiful piece. Guy, you read it. You want to comment?
Yeah, I really loved. Well, one, I really love Leonid Afremov. So I remember when she paid tribute to his artistry on A Poetic Slice, and I was so happy. Or maybe because I just love him. But I really loved most about this piece the intertwining of the Wizard of Oz and how she brought in this, a different story, a more real story, I guess, with the fantasy. So you have the fantasy of the flying monkeys and of the shoes and of all these things that are a little unrealistic layered in with very realistic storyline to me with how she writes, thrown to the other, who needs those heels to get home? Just attack, you say, floor through bedboards and land holdings, and then you see she walked without stems, found herself barefoot and pregnant. So it seems to me like a truer story layered in that fantasy, and I liked that, and it was done very seamlessly where you can shift between the metaphor and the two stories kind of melding together, this reality story and the fabricated story of the Wizard of Oz. I thought it was done quite nice. And then, of course, her language is always really well done. And I gotta love her tildes. Gonna get end comment.
Great comments, Guy. And Deb, how about you?
Yeah, I really like this poem because you could see the Wizard of Oz and the wet yellow brick road all over it, especially where, like, charcoaling the clicks of shoes, cherry red bleeding, the glitter of wine-colored taps. It's like the ruby slippers said in the most fascinating way ever. You know what I mean? Cherry red bleeding, the glitter of wine-colored taps. So that was really awesome. And then with stuff like I actually agree with the comment on the board right now with the part with the flying monkeys. The metaphors, here it is, as she left the flying monkeys behind, evil witches over her shoulder, far behind, full-blooded and high-colored is the lady, always, in sabling red barefoot. It's just a totally different take on the thought of being on that brick road and those red shoes, and I liked her play of words here. And even, what was that? I go back and forth. Oh, okay. Home sweet home, haven, on moonshot, shades, and sepia. And it's like, you know, there's no place like home. So it was just like so many little nuances that she put in here that I'm going to have to save this one on my list because I really, really like where she took this.
Comment, Deb. I know I really like where she took it, too. I really do agree that it went more than just the poem and the picture. All right. Well, thank you, Kay, for letting me use a poem of yours. All right. I have the list now on the chat board, and I have it in the topic board. of who all is here or who all is playing. I have the next lines on the board. Let me go ahead and put it here. All right. We're fettered in the coil and spring of youth's burden. And that's your clue. And we have right now our list is Stephen, Lockdown, Dante, Sky, Deb, S Sharp, Titus, Phil, and Frank. And it just got really quiet again.
Well, you didn't pick on one of us.
No. I know we hear a, I don't know. Normally I hear something, I don't hear anything. All right, I'll be nice to Sky this time then. And Deb, you can be the first one to pick.
I knew you would. Okay. We're fettered in the coil and spring of youth's burden. I want to say it's Titus.
Titus and Sky, what do you think? Do we got Sky? Or did she fly away?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute because I was coughing. I was doing, I'm going to guess Miss Darkholm.
Okay, you're going to guess yourself? That's the first one. I'd love to see if she's wrong. All right. And I have, so Deb said Titus, Sky said herself, and then Sharp said Dante. Which actually, those are some pretty good choices, I would think. But usually if it's a rhyme or something, I think most people know who the rhymers are and who are not the rhymers. But let me go ahead and
well, it's
kind of
tricky because
board.
I have a lot of other rhymes and a lot of rhymes.
Well, Sky, you're right.
I'm trying. But to my, it's 2015, so it's quite old. So to my, I know I remembered. All right. This is called Fettered in Youth's Coil in Spring by Sky Darkholm, 2015. When I carved with chisel and hammer the abstract bed of water's temper, I found the hull, the stem, cleats, and gun holes were fettered in the coil and spring of youth's burden. And while oars raked the endless efforts, in endless efforts, they were only ever meant to buckle. And poem. You pick really depressing poems that I write. <That was spring. laughs> All right.
Well, this is the thing. It's like it takes me a few minutes, and sometimes I'm trying to be doing something else during the day, and sometimes I just, like, when I get requests, I normally just, like, type in spring or something like that. And I try to look at the poem, but at the same time, I don't always,
I like,
but like if it has something of spring in it, then it, I mean, look at it. It doesn't necessarily have to mean spring.
It's outside. You know what?
Yeah.
This has zero comments. So I'm glad that you picked it.
Yeah, I even noticed that too. And I was like, I'm not bad. I've actually done that before when I've done contests and I've seen people put pre-writes in and they have zero comments. And I'm like, that's just sad. And then it just makes me want to give them a reward.
No, I'm an infamous drafter and deleter, and then I bring it back in the shadows. Kind of like...
I know you do.
In the background, so... Thank you.
No, I definitely like the line that I picked, though, and the coal in the spring of youth. But I always, whenever I did click on this poem, I was fascinated by the picture of, like, a boat or whatever on a spring, because I just couldn't even, like, where that even came from, I don't know. But I like what you did with it. It's, like, a very good, I would say definitely this is a brevity. But, yeah, it's very deep. I don't know if I'd say it's too depressing, but I'd just say it's very deep and raw. But yeah, it definitely is outside the spring box. So I like that. Deb, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, 2015. I love when she goes into her vault and pulls out some of the older stuff. But I like in the beginning here when I carved it and carved with chisel and hammer the abstract bed of water's temper. I found the hull, the stern, cheats, and gun moles. I'm not sure what that is. So I'm going to have to learn a new word. But I like the imagery there, especially the thought of the chisel and hammer. Because, I mean, look at that photo. There's no water left. And it's on a spring, like when you go to some of the parks, there's that thing. You just sit on there, and it's on a spring, and you just rock back and forth or whatever with it. So it's like you're on the road to nowhere. And then raked in endless efforts. They were only ever meant to buckle. So sad, and if there's a feel of solitude, like that poor pelican there. I think it's a pelican. I mean, flamingo. But he's not even feeling inspired enough to put the one leg up. So, you know what I mean? It's just, there's just such a sadness, and I think that you captured it. Especially in ever meant, they were only ever meant to buckle. Such a sad thought. There was nothing else to come, to be, to do. Really cool, clever, Brevin.
Thank you, Kay. I mean, thank you, Kay. Thank you, Deb. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was just about to say something.
I was reading something. I wasn't reading something, but I was looking at something, so I'm sorry. Thank you, Deb.
I mean, we've talked about it before where we're literally looking at one name and we say that name even though that's not the person we're talking to. I don't know how many times I've done that, of looking at a poem by somebody else and that's who I think I'm talking to.
I was bookmarking Kay's poem to make a comment on it later. It was bad. Thank you. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, I've got the next poem. I got to get back to the board. All right. And here we go. Here is the next one. Every once in a while, we just need to jump on the moon, sail to the equator, be part of a lunar eclipse. And I will give everybody
sharp.
A minute to... Okay, you guessed sharp. But Vance Guy, I didn't even ask you yet.
I'm just jumping in there.
It's like, I feel like we're actually on Jeopardy. If you'd be like, what is sharp? Okay. Deb, what about you?
Who? Wow. I don't know.
I guess Sharp's answer to everything is Deb, because he's already said Deb twice. He's like, one of these days it'll be right.
Right.
I did that once, and I never got it right.
Uh-oh.
What did you do?
Gotta
I don't remember what you did
right.
To.
Okay, let me see here. Every once in a while, we just need to jump on the moon, sail it to the equator, and be part of a lunar eclipse. I really like the lines. Who wrote them? It's got a whimsical feel, so let me try lockdown logs.
Okay. So Sky says Sharp. Sharp says Deb, and then you say lockdown. I think I got the link now. Yes, I do. Sky, you're just on like, doing really well tonight,
man.
Apparently.
Wow.
She must be cheating. We need to pat her down and see if she has
the phone. I don't think she wrote the answers on her arm because you admitted at the beginning of the show that you were going to pluck the line out off the cuff. So where would she have cheated from? Your brain? Ooh, that's scary.
Is that Sky's new poem, I Can Read Crystal's Mind?
Yep, I got
who knows.
You should keep all the
throw people
there
off.
So like when people come in, if people call in later to the show, they still have an abundance of names, so they don't get they don't get cut slack by having less names. You know, it's real tricky.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read for S Sharp. Hopefully, they don't mind. And this is called A Spring Ritual, which, again, was another person I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to find a spring-related poem. But I just try my best. And this is, I parse the depth of my thoughts, layered in last year's dust, where even spiders seem not to want to go. Lifting the garage door provides light, echoing of past experience, canyons ripe from backfilling purging. More than a broom is needed. Pushing this under the rug will not do. Renovation is needed, removal. Every once in a while, we just need to jump on the moon, sail it to the equator, be a part of a lunar eclipse. I block out the sun and get to work. End poem. But again, it was another one of those poems that I liked that was different. Because when I think of spring poems, I'm thinking flowers, sunshine, I don't know, animals, like bunnies or something. Maybe not that, but I think somewhere around that line. And I like that the spring poems that I picked, some of them are different. And this one kind of made me think of that spring cleaning type of thing, but not just like spring cleaning, but used in a metaphor. And I like that, the spring cleaning of your thoughts. Because sometimes we do have this whole past that has just happened and then I definitely say for me with experience and stuff, all this stuff that just seems like it's in the back of your mind, and sometimes you just need to wipe it all away. Or if we were doing, what is that movie, Inside Out, where literally memories get lost in the bottom of the brain, and almost like that maybe, I don't know. But I really like the way Sharp did this, so I know he's listening, so... Thank you for letting me use this. I was going to say, thank you for writing this for the show, but thank you for letting me use it. Sky, you want to comment?
And you stole my comment, but I'll still come. I'm like, I'm going to throw a duck at you soon if you don't stop. I'm going to tell you that movie, Inside Out, makes me literally break down in emotional heaves of, like, sobs. I love it, but I tell you, anytime I watch that movie Inside Out, I'm just about in tears. But this is a great piece. I love the internal metaphor. And I kind of got that same idea with the type of spring cleaning, especially with the images of where even spiders seem not to want to go. Those inner depths in our soul that are scary, or that, you know, we don't want to relive or rehash or go through those darker parts of ourselves that we hide away. And I love the idea of lifting the garage door provides light, echoes of past experiences, canyons ripe for backfilling, purging. And sometimes, as difficult as it may be, one has to relive, repurge, re-go through those things to kind of, in a cathartic kind of way, even if, especially as writers, many of us do that, writers, and just because you do it one time, I think sometimes in some things in our past in our life, you know, every 10 years or so, you know, it might come up and you might need to repurge, and that's part of the healing process. Sometimes some things don't take just once to heal. They'll be mended for a little while, and then maybe something will trigger it, and you'll be reminded of it, and you need to repurge again. So I think the idea of spring cleaning, taking a look, what's behind the garage door in this metaphor, was very well done. And I liked at the end, with the I block out the sun and get to work. So sometimes you do have to dive into those darker parts of yourself and try to work things through. I thought it was an excellent piece and a great pick for the spring.
See, I didn't steal
and
your comment.
Comment.
Your comment was completely different. I'm joking. No, I know what you mean by the Inside Out movie. I watched that movie too, and it often, I don't know if I necessarily makes me break down, but it definitely does make you think about your own inner emotions and inner thoughts.
Oh, my soul. I'm not going to lie.
Great
Disney
comment,
makes
guys.
Me cry. I don't know why.
Oh, no. I completely get that. There was a time when I was working.
The thing is that I don't cry. Like, I'm not a crier. I don't even cry about my own. Like, I'll tell these really sad stories about things, and I won't even crack. And people are like, not people, but, like, you know, maybe, like, my ex or something was like, I don't know how you can express emotion like that and not crack. But then you watch a Disney movie, and your eyes are watering, and you're like, oh, you can't handle this. We need to shut it off. I'm like, I don't know.
I would say I'm the same way. Like, I think some things do make me crack more than others, but, like, I will admit the whole. Like I said, one time I remember working at one of the daycares I worked at, and one of the other teachers turned on The Fox and the Hound, which is one of my favorite Disney movies. But as soon as she turned it on, I was like, why are you doing this to me? I'm going to cry in front of these children when she drops off Todd. Like, why do you do this to me? But... it does. It makes me, like, blubber like a baby every time I see that scene. But, yeah. But we need to let Deb make a comment. So, Deb, go ahead.
Okay, well, for starters, I want to say my favorite part is actually the part you pulled out to use for the show. And I had said before we even knew who it was that it was awesome lines, you know. But I'd like the beginning as well there. I parse the depth of my thoughts layered in last year's dust, where even spiders seem not want to go. It's like, got to be pretty bad there if even a spider won't curl into that spot. So there were some really awesome metaphors, and I thought it was such a good brevity that I put on my list, so... great chair.
I'm just reading sharp on the board. They have a nice sense of humor.
I haven't even. Oh, I had written tacos. What? Tacos make me cry. Well, I mean, a lot of interesting things.
Tacos. You guys are so wrong.
They're being a wife. They're just kidding. You can see it. They're just kidding.
All right. I've got next lines coming on the board, and here we go. Spring moving on, now in full spring, heightening senses of being, bees on a swing, birds singing. We'll give everybody a second. That's Deb. That's Deb. Okay.
I'm sorry. I just
God doesn't
it
even
out.
Hesitate.
I'm sorry.
I'm okay with that.
Sorry.
It makes me of having to ask. All right. So Sky
I'm leaving
Deb.
Soon.
Deb,
I'll stop interrupting.
Or
it's a short line.
Funny.
The short line. She gets into a rhythm. She starts like the little bits of. She does that like I don't know if it's her, but I'm pretty sure it's her. But she gets into a bit of rhythm with her lines. That's my guess.
Well, Sharp said it's the list going. It's on the topic. Deb, who did you think it is?
Wow. Pick some hard lines, Crystal. Making senses of being. bees on a wing, birds singing. Dante?
All right, so we've got Dante, Deb, and Sharp said Frank. All right, let me go ahead and grab the link.
Frank usually has super long lines.
Yeah, that is true. But you don't know. I could have.
I know. You never know. Oh.
Oh, man.
I love it, though. I loved it how Sky was so confident. I was sitting here biting my lip.
I am confident. I'm confident. Well, sometimes that goes into... Well, I know it wasn't Stephen, because Stephen doesn't often put a lot of grammar in. So I'm trying to... And Frank's lines are, like, super long. Titus' lines are super
long.
Yeah. Poet... Oh, yeah. All the poets usually very... His lines usually match, like they're the same, like they're all the same length. But I could be wrong.
Like
people
the box.
Crazy things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Box
so
lines
kind of,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, I've got
all right,
lockdown,
I was wrong, Deb, sorry.
Deb, do you want to read for him?
Absolutely. Okay, this is called Strangely Spring by Lockdown Larks. Here we go. Heralding the season's change, the orange blossom awakes. Yawning, languished in its repose, strangely indifferent to the stakes, arranging honey scent for their nose. Spring moving on, now in full swing, heightening sense of being, bees on a wing, birds singing, the blossom of Florida's liking. And
great read. No, I like that how he brought all this together, and then at the end it's talking a bit about Florida. I would imagine that Florida is a bit like here in Louisiana. It's very humid. You don't really get much of a spring. Spring just kind of like you might get a few days of it, and the next thing you know, it's 90 degrees. But I do like the lines that I picked, though, about the heightening senses of being bees on a wing and the birds singing. It's like you get that small bit of spring that you're looking for, and then kind of it just kind of disappears. But I like the bits of feeling of this, like the orange blossom and everything, and like the honey scent to the nose. It's really pretty, and it is a very good scent. Of everything, like I can imagine all the birds and the orange blossoms, and I can smell the honey and pretty much, and it's really beautiful. Deb, you read? You want to comment?
Yeah, I thought it had a whimsical, I don't know if playfulness is the right way to put it, but like there was something with the way it would end with a sound and then go back into the other one, such as that. Full swing, heightening senses of being, bees on a wing, birds singing. It was just like a joyful little ditty that led us back to the blossoms of Florida. So I thought it was really cute, and I see that it also is a award winner. So congratulations on your silver medal for it as well. Cool share.
I can see why it is. Great comment, Deb. And Sky, your say so.
Oh, see, it does have a play with words, Deb, and you often play with words. So that's why I was deceived, but this was really well done. And I loved the yawning, languished in its repose, strangely indifferent to the stakes. If you would have picked that line, I probably wouldn't have guessed, Deb. But this was an excellent piece, arranging honey scent for the nose. I like how she kind of put it, or... him play, put it into kind of like a medley with the arranging honey, and I like how it's titled Strangely Spring. I think that was pretty clever. I liked the bit of alliteration in the title, and again, I have to echo what Deb said with this part, because I thought it was really rhythmic with the play on words, heightening senses of being, bees on the wing, birds singing. It's a very, like, I do have to agree with you. It's very playful the way that the words are written. It's very light and springy. really well done. Done. And comment.
Great comments, guy. Yeah, it does have that kind of whimsical feel to it. I like that. But it also kind of makes me just think of a spring kind of poem. A lot of them are very whimsical. All right, I've got the next poem on the board. Or next, not next poem, well, technically next poem. And here we go. Our bones and flesh radiate, seasons come and go. Sun rays, raindrops, snowflakes, eventually flowers bloom.
I'm afraid to go first
now. Music.
I'm coming out.
Well, we've got Stephen, Deb, Dante, Titus, Phil, and Frank left. So that's who we've got left.
Don't lie to me. This has to be Deb.
Okay, so we've got a Deb. And Deb, what do you think?
Wait a minute.
I think Deb.
Yeah, no, these are hard. No, you're hard. man. Okay, so Stephen.
Okay, so we've got Stephen. All right, and Sky, you said Deb, or are you just repeating what Sharp said?
No, I just read it with Deb. I don't think it's Deb. Probably wrong again. But I'm going to... I don't think I've read a lot of Lockdown or Dante. I mean, I've seen them around, but
well,
not
we
so
just
much.
Read
I'm
going to
guess. Yeah, I know, but that's why it was. I'm going to guess Dante. I'm going to guess
so
Dante. I'm probably wrong, but that's
Deb,
what I'm going to go with.
And Frank. Okay.
Hopefully Deb's being honest.
And if she's not, no, you're right.
Oh! Okay.
Guy's on a roll.
Well, no, I got the last
one. Yeah, I was trying to find one of Dante's that I knew would just throw everyone off because I know what he – I mean, it's somewhat still throws you off, but it still is like a Dante poem, but not at the same time. Sky, you want to read for him? I promise there's nothing hard in there to read.
It was I think it was the bones and the radiation that – The bones, flesh radiate. Not radiation, but radiate. Okay. Through the Seasons by Dante 16. Bright in the sunlight, hazel light eyes shine. Deeper inside, a wonderful oasis hides. As I sip the water so sweet and full of love, pulsating, electrified, our bones and flesh radiate. Seasons come and go. Sun rays, raindrops, snowflakes, eventually flowers bloom. Feverish by the wind whispering, hearing you speak, seeing you bloom, more open towards me. I fall endlessly, summering more warmly in the spring of our love. Let me warm you up in the winter. Oh, baby, let us together side by side. Through thick and thin, be my angel as I am your devil. Not perfect alone, but perfect together. I set to spark a light brighter than the stars, as our love is on fire through every stormy weather. So if I could give you a million kisses through the snowflakes, a carpet of white will cover your Californian house. End quote.
Well, I'm going to keep it to my mouth, or keep it to myself, who I think this is for, but
we
already know.
Everybody knows. We already know.
Yeah, I know everybody knows. But I'm just saying, when I did find it, I did think it was incredibly, incredibly sweet. And I did love, towards the end about the before that not perfect alone, but perfect together. There was some song that I had run into a few years ago, or maybe it wasn't that many years ago, or I don't know how long ago it was, but I found a song or something that was talking about that, about things that don't necessarily seem like they would go together, but yet then they're perfect together. But yeah, I came to mind when I read this. But I like that he brings in the winter and the spring and the changing and stuff like that, and that they're there for each other through it all, through the sun, the rain, the snow, wherever they may be, they're there together. And I think that's really sweet and really beautiful. Sky, you can comment first.
Oh, thank you. I thought this was a beautiful piece. I loved the idea of the spring versus winter, and the idea of kindling those flames even through the colder weather, and even using that into a metaphor for harder times to come. I mean, nothing suns and roses and flowers blooming all the time. Often people in their lives go to, you know, quote, winter. So I like how he kind of states that, you know, they're going to be able to get through that. And then I also liked the not perfect alone, but perfect together. And I think that one thing that sometimes people mistake that no one's perfect, but it doesn't mean people can't be perfect for each other in that sense. And, of course, you know, I think everybody loves that Californian girl. So excellent piece, wonderfully done, and a beautiful, you know, bit of love poem and comment.
Great comments, Guy. I know we all do love that Californian, where that California lives in the California house. All right. Deb, you want to comment?
Man, I sure feel out of the loop. I'm going to have to ask Dante what the heck's going on now. Anyway, I thought the poem was really awesome. Like, towards the end there, through thick and thin, be my angel as I'm your devil. Not perfect alone, but perfect together. A set to spark, a light brighter than the stars. It was like a declaration, a romance, all wrapped together. So if I could give you a million kisses through the snowflakes, a carpet of white will cover your Californian house. I mean, it was extra romantic because I don't think it snows a whole lot in California, so to be able to carpet the entire place with white is like an extra oof type of thing, you know. So I thought this came out really awesome. Tender. I guess because I've been reading Dante as far as like the rap-free group, this gentleness that was in here that was missing, and when you're trying to bite another person's head off and win a battle, and you don't see many big words like this, you know. So it was really sweet.
Great comment, Deb. All right. Okay, I got the next one. All right, here we go. Dawn breaks the daylight horizon, peach marks the sunset, or sunlight. Blushing pink as it climbs, poets with feather quills. Who literally just screamed, oh, Sky?
Of course.
I know it's Deb. Screamed Deb.
I know it's Deb. Which is good because I have to go and I wanted to stick around and I was hoping you might drop Deb soon, so I'm glad. Oh, sorry, everybody else.
Okay,
has
so you're saying Deb. No, I'm not saying you scream. You're saying it. You're screaming it. Like Deb in an auction or something. Do I hear 300?
I choose Deb. Well, ask Deb when she was doing those music things for like the, remember those game shows you did, Deb, with the music? And you had to guess the lyrics in the song.
Oh, I remember that.
I got quite belligerent.
All right, well, Deb, who do you think it is? Because everybody is saying it's you so far. even though they've been doing that the last several poems.
I'm going to be surprised because I don't see me there. so nobody will be more surprised than me. But, okay, let me see. Dawn breaks the daylight horizon. Peach marks the sunlight, blushing pink as it climbs. Poets with feather quills. Phil.
Okay, so two Debs and a Phil. All right. Sky, you're just going to have to win something, I guess.
What does she win?
You've won a new car. I don't know.
Yay! Uh-oh, she's got it recorded.
All right, Deb, whenever you're ready to read yours.
Okie dokie. This is called In Silence, Color Spill, Dehydrate, and Circle Back for Spring. There we go. The canopy color tickles the eye. Rubies and quartz meet dark garnet. Gaggles of geese congregate high as flapping wings soar spiraling inside a purple-gray sky. Hoot owls scream at the moon to peek for a thickening haze as critters scurry and nightlife peaks with shadows tossing a maze. Dawn breaks the daylight horizon. Peach marks the sunlight, blushing pink as it climbs. Poets with feather quills capture the picture, then jot the scene down in written lines of rhyme, framing the edges in glitter from light that goldenrod sun rays deliver. The icy breeze kisses morning dew, coating leaves with frosting of silver. Platinum blankets see orange, red and yellow crack brown, weightlifting all Jack Frost's rips the fall tints down. A buck and a doe stroll pathway, crinkles and crunches meet snaps, clouds fill with rain, circle treetops, and droplets spill, hit tree branches and taps. Howls ride gusted winds, morning goodbye to roses. Skin chills with goosebumps, pink covers tips of noses. Seashores sit naked, no sunbathers on sand. Pastels fall to jewel tones, and saltwater ripples splash the dry land. Daytime and nighttime, Mother Earth waves her wand, coloring this world into infinity and beyond. And hope.
Oh, wow. I didn't even expect the end. Like, I somewhat read the poems beforehand, but I don't read them all. But I love it that at the end where you have to infinity and beyond, and the whole time I'm sitting there reading Toy Story. But I do love this, though. I figured, like I said, when I did spring, I figured I was going to find some spring poems, and I definitely did. But I did love the picture that you put with this one. And then, of course, bringing in all the colors of the rubies and the quartz and the peach and or the kissing morning dew. I don't know how many times I've actually seen that line from you, kissing morning dew. I've seen that several times, but I always love it. And then you bring in the orange, the red, and the yellow and everything. You just kind of bring in all the colors and all the seasons and everything. And I just think it's so beautiful how you just incorporate all of those seasons and lines together. It's really beautiful.
Thank you, Krista.
And Sky, your comment?
Well, I I don't know why I read this 2 years ago and it's not on my recommendation list. So that's fixed. This is really, really, I really love this one. I know that my short comment, my stunning images and description, really well-done comment, doesn't do this justice, but sometimes when I really like a poem, I'm just like, brilliant, and that's about it. But then I read my comment, and I'm like, I kind of shafted them, but I really love this. The platinum blink, I mean, I really could just pick any single thing, but the platinum blink, it's of orange and red, yellow, crack, brown. Weightlifting all Jack's frost rips a fall tints down. I really love that. I love how you implemented different themes and seasons of nature, like bringing in Jack Frost. There were other ones that I absolutely. There were so many poets with feather quills capture the pictures, then jot the scene down, and I can't help but think of all those amazing poems that I get from my picture prompts, because that is why I like to do it, because I like to read poems that are written for nature. So I love, to me, that speaks to me a little bit more personally in that stanza. And I liked how you bring the gaggles of geese, wonderful language. And again, I'm just going to steal every stanza, every line. And I'm the only one here besides Crystal, so I can. The moaning goodbye to roses, skin chills, goosebumps, pink cover tips on noses. It's just very, like I said earlier, you have a playful way of words and a good sense and a good handle on language and turn of phrases. And yet they're always, and when I say turn of phrase, they're always very unique but familiar, but you're changing those words that I already know. You're making them, you're kind of designing them in a new way. And I know sometimes you do that on purpose. Like even when you say, if people say a fork and a knife, you might say a knife and a knife and a fork. You'll put it backwards a lot of times to try to twist certain sayings and the language. And I like that. I'm going to stop now because now I'm just rambling. Great piece. Love it.
Thank you, Sky. Yeah, I remember you said when I said pepper and salt instead of salt and pepper that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the example that I was looking for. Yeah, I like that because it makes your brain kind of like do like a quick like a rubber band. Like, what did you say? And I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you.
And I do have to say goodbye, Crystal. I do have to.
All right. You want to plug any shows before you go?
Oh, yeah, I can. Let me figure out what I'm doing. So this Saturday on Poetic Slice of Life, I am doing a show, and it's April. So that means Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien, like every April. So we are doing this time 1978 version, the animated version of The Lord of the Rings. So there's some, you could write to any of the theme scenes, characters, quotes. You can go anywhere you want, even if it's off topic from the film or the content, as long as it's on topic for the quote. So if you've never read Lord of the Rings or never seen Lord of the Rings, you still can provide, you can still find inspiration in the quotes and contribute to the show. And, so we're going to have fun. It's on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's it. Thank you, Crystal. A fun show. Great concept, by the way.
Thank you. And thank you, Sky, for being here for as long as you could.
Thank you.
See you later, Sky.
Bye. I missed you, Deb. I saved your poem. I need you to read it to me. I can't read your poems. You need to read to me. I'm very spoiled, so I saved it.
I caught her.
I know. I'm totally spoiled. Yeah. Well, you know what? When she put so much work and homework into it, I want to wait. I want to wait. So, all right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Sky. Okay, I didn't mean to rhyme that. Bye, Sky. All right. Well, we've got four poems left, and I got the next lines I'm about to put on the board. But before I do that, since we're talking about shows, after this one, if anyone wants to go to Poetic Slice of Life, they are doing their Poetic Inkling show. I've got to remember what it's about. I don't even know if I even looked.
An amazing watercolor artist.
How terrible I am. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. They're doing, yeah. Agnes Snell, I guess you say her name? Oh, all right. Or around of that. Okay, I was reading that. But yeah, it's a bunch of watercolor. Oh, I love watercolor stuff. Why didn't I do this earlier? But yeah, they're on right now until about, they're on for about a few hours, but they just started a few minutes ago. If anybody wants to head over there after this,
till midnight at least.
Yeah, at least midnight. But yeah, that's their show for right now. Okay, what was I doing? Oh, right. Lines. All right, here we go. Spring is here, rejoice. Snow's gone, dear. And I know it sounds very short.
Titus.
Did I say Titus? Well, I'm guessing we still have S sharp on the board. I don't know if he's going to say anything or not. Let's see. So you're saying Titus. Yeah, because we do got Titus, Stephen, Frank, and Phil left. It's weird that I saved all guys. I didn't mean to do that. I swear I didn't. All right. Also, S sharp says Titus, and Sky says Titus.
Whoa. Just as I was about to change mine to Phil, everybody chimed in Titus, so... That's interesting.
I'm sitting there, I'm laughing at
Scott. Oh, well,
I don't know who Titus is. Okay.
I think I'll take
well,
it.
Well, everyone is wrong.
It was Stephen. Wow, we were all wrong, and I'm going to take
Steven.
That one off mm-hmm. for Sky. She stops blushing. Okay, there we go.
Okay. All right, and I'll go ahead and read for Stephen. So this is called Spring in the Northeast. Ah, yes, spring is here, rejoice. Snow's gone, dear. Put on the swim trunks, get ready for the pool. Going to head outside, rushing like a fool. The worst part is I'm in the Northeast. Frigid temperatures don't end until June at least. So back inside I go, shivering like an idiot. Give me some hot chocolate and an electric blanket. End poem. I was surprised to find, like, I know he writes a lot of humor, but I feel like it's been a long time. But this one is, of course, 3 years old, too. But I was trying to find something kind of different. And when I saw Spring in the Northeast, I immediately related. Because I do remember the first part of my childhood where it was like, sometimes during the day it would just be kind of warm, but then in the morning and in the night you'd have to wear a sweater and some pants and boots and everything. Because sometimes the snow wouldn't be off the ground for ages or sometimes it just seemed like the temperatures would never actually go up. But so I definitely... understand that. I do kind of miss that, though, the whole temperatures not really changing, because like here it's like it goes from winter to summer in 0.5 seconds. But yeah, I really enjoyed this one from him, and I liked having a little bit of humor. How about you, Deb?
Yeah, I agree, and I looked up to see when it was, and like you said, it was an older one. It was 3 years old. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, he's out there in the frigid temperatures, and he wants his hot chocolate and his electric blanket. And my first thought was, well, obviously this was written pre his new fancy snowblower, because he probably wouldn't have needed to be thawed out quite so desperately had he, you know, been able to use his snowblower here. And it just something about the fact that he has that snowblower now just tickled my fancy and made me giggle.
I forgot about that, kind of. I vaguely remember him bringing that up, but I figured that is a very good investment. Or not, maybe not investment, but that something to have.
All right. Well, it's kind of an investment because, like, the more time you spend out there shoveling snow, that, sometimes people drop shoveling snow because you don't realize that you overexerted so much because you're so damn cold. So it's an investment in him being around for a long, long, long time. Just saying.
That's true. Trying to go with the next. Who am I going to go with next? I think I'm going to go with this. And here we go. And go back to the board. Guy has to go with her first instinct. I would think so. I know, because she's not doing good anymore. Nah, I'm kidding. All right. It says, they lift their trumpets high a little more before they make a sound. The first, my friend, becomes a wanton flesh of the group will send. And we've got Titus, Frank, and Phil left. And time for the Jeopardy music. Do, 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 do.
Comes a wanton fetch, the group will send. Let's all say Titus again.
Two Tituses. Because that's what S. Sharp just said. Alrighty. Well, yeah, finally got one right, I guess. But that one, I think, is a little more obvious. You could tell it's Titus. Deb, you want to read for him? I don't have a SoundCloud or anything, which I was surprised. Normally he has a SoundCloud with almost every poem.
Yeah. Okay, this is called The First Day of Spring. One and only, Titus Llewellyn. And here we go. To winter sweet, Christmas cheer, do tell. Upon the first of spring, they're breaking with tradition, the first sighting will begin to live. Within a means so shyly snowdrops, they'll begin spring's first new sprite. The daffodils could ill afford this spring, these sudden chills. They lift their trumpets high. A little more before they make a sound. The first, my friend, becomes a wanton fetch the group will send. Our waves you've not prepared for, hellebore. There's this magic in the air. It stirs one back to our first love, methinks the spring did track. End poem.
I like it there. And methinks, I'm just imagining a very, like, Irish or, I don't know about British, but maybe Irish is coming to my head of an accent. Methinks the spring does track. But I like that. No, I like the little bits that he does bring up here about, like, the shyly snowdrops and how they're just slowly disappearing, and then somehow there's the daffodils, and then you have that, like, that middle part which turns from winter to spring, where you have, like, it's kind of a bit chilly, but then you got the flowers starting to bloom a little bit, and I kind of sense that with this one. But it is very poetic, which normally you read something like that from Titus. I always look at his poetry very elegant, poetic. Such of that. Occasionally, I run into something different, but that's just usually what I think of when I read Titus. But Yeah, I really enjoyed this one from him, and I figured, I didn't know if he was going to be an easy pick or a hard pick, but I did find this one, and I think it sums up for spring. So, Deb, you read, what do you think?
Yeah, Tiger really blows me away sometimes. Like here in this, could ill afford the spring, these sudden chills. They lift their trumpets high a little more before they make a sound. The first, my friend, becomes a wanton fetch the group will send. But at the beginning, too, to winter sweet, Christmas cheer do tell. Upon the first of spring, they're breaking with tradition. It's a brevity, but it's got a lot in there with the visuals and the thoughts of spring, going from the chill to the spring, which happens here a lot because it was like 42 2 days ago and it was 80 today, and that's kind of felt with the back and forth when I was reading, and a little more before they make a sound. It's just little things, but I really like the picture, the image in my head of lifting the trumpet tie. It was a clever job, and it's also an award winner. But no surprise there. Great share.
Awesome comment. And we've got two more. We got Phil and got Frank. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to confuse anyone anymore.
Battery left.
I'm in turn. Always try and charge my phone before I do these shows because I once didn't, and I was like on 1%, and I think it did die on me once in a show. I wasn't sure if that happened or not, but I think I remember it happening.
Now, I have to use 2 to do my show because this phone only ever lasts approximately an hour.
Wow. All right. And next one is daffodils and dandelions woven into a necklace, a gift for you. And the big showdown, is it Frank or is it Phil? Well, Sky says it's Phil. She could be wrong, though. And Deb's just got her thinking.
Different, I'll say Frank. Daffodils and dandelions woven into a necklace, a gift for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got 2 Franks and a Phil. Because that's what Sharp says is Frank. It could be, actually, but it is Phil. I figured picking between the two of them, you kind of can tell the difference between Phil and between Frank. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to read for Phil, and then we'll read Frank's next because we already know it's Frank's. I had debated putting one of mine in the mix, but at the end, I just decided against it. I just figured doing everybody else.
Well, I thought we yelled at you for deciding against it last time. Just say.
I know. I have so many, especially recently, that has been my theme is spring. I can't seem to write anything else. It's just spring for the last few weeks. And I don't even have much of a spring in front of me. Like I said, it's mainly been raining and hot. It hasn't even reminded me of spring. So why I'm writing about it, I don't know. But yeah, this is called The Fragrance of Spring by Phil the Poet. With eyes closed, she inhaled the richness of spring, fingers embracing lavender, feet caressing a carpet of emerald, daffodils and dandelions woven in a necklace, a gift for you. Songs of swallows, bleeding, and of innocence fills this world with melody. This she observes through the fragrance of a resurrected spring. End poem. No, I thought that was really beautiful. And I figured you and me, Deb, were going to love all the colors of the emerald and the lavender and everything, and just bringing in all the colors, because that's something you and I've always done, is all the colors and everything. And I feel like he incorporated that here. But I also love that he, the lines that I actually did pick were one of my favorites, because I like it woven to a necklace, a gift for you. Like, I can just imagine almost like a lei, I would say, making me think of like a, that is what they're like, a necklace of flowers almost kind of came to my head. But I also love the world of melody, or world with melody. I love the word melody. I don't use it that much in poetry, because it usually is considered a weak word in the auto rank, so I don't use it too often, but I love the word. But yeah, I think this is just a beautiful spring poem. It kind of brings life into it again. And, oh wait, I've got someone on the phone.
Hey,
I got
Crystal.
A Skype number.
Right.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was wondering. I was like, who do we got? I had no idea. I was just like, Skype number. And I was like, who
is
Skype
not really
number?
Skype. It's not really Skype, but yeah. That's how it comes across when you block your number. I did that at one point, and then I can't undo it. I lost my eyesight, so I'm having a devil of a time undoing that. So I'm anonymous now.
Hello, anonymous.
Well, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, anonymous.
Was that
Deb? Hey, Deb. Like, we don't know.
I said hello,
yeah,
anonymous.
Hey.
No, we did have Sky with us earlier. It was me and Deb and Sky for a while, and then we have S Sharp playing on the board. A lot of the poetry is kind of gone now, though. Did you get a chance
Sky
to hear Phil at all?
Just face. She was on a roll. She
did
get many wrong. And I think I got two right.
She did do really well.
I'll
gonna take this game from me.
Well, you got here in time for the last poem.
Yeah, you did. But no, we just read Phil's. Deb, you want to make a comment, and then we'll read Frank.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought this was really a gorgeous poem. excuse me. The colors and visuals were spectacular. I saved it too, and I see that he won an award for it. It's easy to see why, if you look at it, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teeny little stanzas, but he painted a glorious picture with those little stanzas, so that is awesome. And on a side note, you had mentioned that you and I like to use color. I had just said that on my show on Monday, that how awesome it was to have influenced so many poets, that so many of the poems that are read nowadays have color in them that might not have before. I said, other than Crystal, because she always used colors. So I just said the same thing on Monday night about you and I with the colors. So it's just funny that you said it tonight, too. Just saying.
I think I did, because I listened to the show yesterday, I think. Yeah, I think I listened to it yesterday. I don't think it was today. No, I heard you say that. And even you, I think, were saying, though, about that I seem to use it more. And I would say that is the truth. But when I see your prompts or anybody's prompts and they're saying, use color, and I'm like, okay. Like, people don't need to tell me to do that, because the colors will just keep going. But I love using lots of colors, though, because kind of just what goes in my head when I go outside typically is I like to see all the different browns in front of me, or all the different greens, or things like that. And I don't really like getting flowers that much, but I love the different colors of flowers and things. Like if I see yellow ones around or white ones, when I went riding my bike earlier, I saw pink ones on the side of me, and I was like so excited to see those. But yeah, I love bringing out the colors, and I like that Frank did that here, because that is what comes to mind when it comes to spring, is all the different colors you see. All right, and for the last poem of the night, it is. Okay, why is Sky saying she's ready for the next challenge? What challenge? I have no idea. Unless you're meaning like the next game. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do this again. I am going to try and do the page numbers maybe next. I'm not sure. Let's see. So let's go ahead and drop Frank's. Yeah, I bet this one is Frank's. No, duh. Well, Deb,
you were supposed to put an extra poem in.
What? Have it between Frank's and mine? I can't read anything.
No. Not an extra one of yours. An extra poem, just like a dummy poem that wasn't meant to be read. So that just to give someone a choice when you get to the last one.
Maybe I'll do that next time. Oh, Sky's already getting on to me. She's saying, you didn't put the lines on the board. What lines am I supposed to pick? Everyone knows it's Frank. All right, Deb, go ahead and read.
Okie dokie. This is called The Spring Breeze by Poetic Picasso. And here we go. The spring breeze dallies with the scent of flowers. As the gay cherry trees so graceful blossom rife. The tree once deluded of leaves in winter are reanimated with the sprinkle of springtide. The fleecy clouds shelter the foliage. Sprigs of mint where the jovial warblers sing an angelic choir, ushering in the season of early virginal gleams, replenished in the shades of colors of nature, resounding echoes of the currents of a brook, leading into the mouth of a cascading fountain where the purity of raindrops of liquid become the soft crystals of splashing dew. A place to saunter for a lover's promenade, of a natural haven for the beautiful creatures and I who dwell in the midst of the celestial heaven, to enjoy the old day and a starlit night. End poem.
Great read, Deb. This is really, really, really beautiful. And I like that what we were just talking about earlier, incorporating flowers into the spring. And he does that, talking about the gay cherry trees and the scent of flowers and the blossoms and everything. And then again, bringing in the colors and everything. But I think if I would have had to pick lines to put on the board, I probably would have put the lines I like the most. And I promise it's not because it has my name in it. I think it's just beautiful. Where the purity of the raindrops of liquid become the soft crystals of splashing dew. I just love the sound of that, mainly the splashing dew, because I'm just imagining this brook going along. And that's coming from someone when I was younger. I had a creek that was behind my house, and I do remember this was around the time I actually started to love poetry, but didn't even know it. But I remember just the sounds that the water would make, and then seeing the rocks around the creek that would just kind of be like shiny from the splashing dew, that would be like little droplets on it. And that came to mind when I was seeing that, talking about the currents of the brook and then having the splashing dew and stuff, and it just being like this shiny, wet dew on the rocks. But, yeah, I think he did a beautiful job with this. And it does kind of have that heavenly scent, or, like, heavenly feel to it. But he did a beautiful job. And, Deb, you read, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, aside from the stunning images all through, like resounding echoes of the currents of a brook leading into the mouth of a cascading fountain, I mean, gorgeous. The fleecy clouds shelter the foliage sprints of mint where the jovial warblers sing an angelic choir. I mean, it was a treat for the senses, but it was also, there was romance, there was beauty, there was tenderness. And you know, you get so used to listening to Frank's dramatic poems where he takes us on a journey and then he leaves us laughing with a blood-curling giggle or that screechy thing he does, that it was a really sweet treat to be his reader and to be part of one of the more tender of his writes. So it was an awesome choice, Crystal.
I feel like that is what kind of Frank's been doing, I say definitely lately, is doing all those evil laughs or something like that, something a little more spooky, which if that's what he wants to write right now, I'm totally completely for that. But I did like reading something different from him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not taking away from his dramatic poems. But there was just, it was nice to see the other side.
No, I definitely like feel that. Like I said, we all go through different phases where we write something different or so. But yeah, I did agree with you though. I love his dramatic ones, but it was nice to read something different. Rack, you want to make the last comment of the night?
Sure. When I first heard Frank, if I'm remembering right, it wasn't the dramatic. It was more of a poetry like you just read, kind of light and descriptive and just full of beautiful imagery. The line about the warblers was the one, that I liked the best as well. I mean, I don't know if I heard that out of context and he was the only one left, if I would have picked him as the one that wrote it. I guess it depends on who else would have written, but you know, it did have that Frank feel to it, you know. And you know, I definitely, you know, couldn't hear the laugh in this was so far removed from that type of a write for him, but you know, that is kind of a trademark for him too. So, you know, I tease him a little bit about it, you know, I'll try and imitate the laugh and you know, whatnot, but you know, it's good the way when he does it, you know, the dramatic reads, the performance, the production that he puts into it, it's nice. But you know, this I wouldn't even call it a change of pace for him, because he's got this in the way that he writes, and you know, I like when he goes this direction, because he is versatile and he does do dark, but he does do write like this as well, and I much prefer when he's like this. I enjoyed it.
Great comment. Yeah, I would say this is when I first had met Frank, what I remember is the love poems that he would normally write, like something a little more, I don't know if I would say necessarily sensual, but kind of like romancy kind of writes, and occasionally something dark. But I would agree that this too, oh, and now he's on the board. Okay. Yeah, he's like, I saw my poem read, so I'm here now. I liked reading something different though. But yeah, I do agree with you too that it isn't too different from him. But plus though, it was written a year ago, so yeah. So yeah, a lot of these I try to grab poems that are older than so that it kind of throws people off, because most people are going to remember something they've written recently. They're not going to remember something they've written 2, 3, 4 years ago. They're not going to remember that. Or at least there's occasionally I do. But yeah, sometimes I go back to my poems and I'm like, I wrote that. I've done that several times where I've gone back several pages and I'm like, and then I find a poem and I'm like, I wrote that? What was I doing at the time? I definitely enjoy going through old poems and finding and doing this game for people and stuff, especially when they have no idea. That did not happen this time where people didn't really know it was themselves. I wish it had though, because that's always funny when that happens. But yeah, I'm going to do the announcements, but thank you to Deb and Sky and Rack for calling in. And thank you to everybody that let me pick one of your poems, Stephen and Kay, Lockdown Lars, S. Sharp, Titus, Dante. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anyone. Oh, man. Okay.
Frank.
Oh, and Phil. Yeah, and Frank. Thank you. And Sky, which I already had some Sky. Yeah, I think I got everybody. But thank you guys for letting me pick some of your poems to play. Like I said, right now over at Poetic Slice of Life, it is Poetic Inklings. They are doing about until about midnight, or probably before. And see what we've got.
Cecil?
I don't know if we got anything for tomorrow. It should be, oh, here we go. Oh, it's Sweet. That's right, Sweet.
Tomorrow's Sweet Pea.
So for tomorrow, yeah, tomorrow's Sweet Pea, and it's Love and Blood, The Way You Look at Me. But I think it's the one that got scheduled. Yes, it is. But yeah, she's supposed to be doing that show tomorrow to the quote, "The blood on my teeth begins to taste like a poem, like religion, like the way you look at me." So, yep, that's Sweet Show's for tomorrow, for Thursday. And her show is at what? At 11 o'clock Eastern time. So, and then besides hers, I don't think there is one for Friday, but I know Saturday is Saturday Nights with Hatter, AP, and Deb, and their topic is school. Home. Don't want to go back to that. All right, well, but yeah, they've got for tomorrow's Sweet Pea show, and then Saturday we've got Deb and Hatter and AP. So that's ones that I know right now, and then eventually I know we'll go back to Deb's Monday night shows. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And thank you, Rack, for having the company in the last 10, 15 minutes.
Sorry about that. I thought you were on.
Oh, no, you're good. You're completely good. Yeah, I started at 9 or 8 Central Time. I always have to remember Eastern Time, not Central Time, even though I'm on Central Time. I couldn't imagine if I was in California, even though I can do California time, too. The one that always confused me is when you're going into another country. Then I can't exactly tell you. Yeah.
Across the state line.
Well, it's 2 days from now. It's 2 days from now, and it's 9:48, and I'm like, wait, what?
Right.
No, morning. I can't really tell you. Yeah, because a lot of times when I'm doing contests or anything, I got to realize that people are going to be at different times, especially if they're from a different country. And because there's some people I'm like, why don't they write for my contest? But then I'm like, oh, when I do my contest, I bet they're asleep.
But we're heard all over the world, right, Deb?
Deb actually dropped.
Oh.
Yeah, her phone died about 5 minutes ago. She put that out on the board, saying that her phone died mid-sentence. But, yeah, so it's just you and me, Rack. That's all it is. But, she
yeah,
said that her
all
phone
all
was going to die anyway, though. We are. That is the very cool thing, is that we can talk to people all around the world and that we're heard all around the world. So I could have someone in India or Australia or Poland listen to me right now, and I wouldn't even know.
We got listeners in Ireland and England.
That's true.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, even people that are doing the not doing the shows, but like, we got people in the group and stuff like that, people that live in England and Ireland and stuff, and they write for the shows and things, and we get to hear their voices sometimes. It's really cool. But, yeah. But I think I'm going to go ahead and end the show now, because I think I got all my thank yous out and all of the announcements out And there, yeah, I did. Okay, I'm making sure. But thank you, everybody, for listening and playing and reading along with the poems and stuff. I had a lot of fun, as usual. But, yeah. And good night, Rack.
Thank you for using blog poem. Goodbye.
That is exactly what the noise is, too. Good night.